Good morning and welcome to Vineyard Community Church. Thank you for joining our online service. We ask you to worship with us.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. A little louder, sing a little louder, oh, sing a little louder, sing a little louder, sing a little louder, sing a little louder.
Oh, will arise. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad you could join us this morning. Being Memorial Weekend, this is a time, tomorrow is a day that we take a day out of the year and we remember those who have lost their lives serving our country. And so I just want to, before we get into the sermon today, I want to take a moment to just pray. And if you've lost a loved one, a grandparent, a spouse, a son, a daughter, a nephew, relative, a friend who was serving our country, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for the ultimate sacrifice that they gave. And I just want to take a minute and pray. So let's just join me in prayer here, church. Lord God, I thank you for those who gave their lives up serving our country, God. The ultimate sacrifice, so that we could have the freedoms that we have in this nation to do the things that we do. God, I thank you so much for the families that are now living with a memory of a relative or a loved one, God. I pray your blessings, Lord God, and your anointing on those families, Lord God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we take the time this weekend to recognize those who lost their lives serving our country, God, that you would bring the sweet memories that we have of them to mind. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, with sacrifice comes a range of emotions, a time that is needed to heal the wounds that we deal with. And not only this, but change has to take place. When there's a sacrifice, we have to adapt. For instance, we are all sacrificing things right now. I think that we all have a different path that we can go down when it comes to dealing with this pandemic, with this virus. We can choose to go down a positive path where we want to be a blessing to others. And sometimes we just get caught up in our heads and it could take us down a dark path. My prayer is that today's message can help us all, no matter where we are at and what we are dealing with when it comes to sacrifice. For those who call themselves a follower of Jesus, you, myself, we are aware of the ultimate sacrifice Jesus gave in order for mankind to have eternal life with him in heaven. He gave his life up so that we could have life. Without the shed blood of Jesus, on the cross, mankind could not receive forgiveness, and we would not be able to have eternal life with him in heaven. I don't know about you, but before this virus hit, life was cruising along at a great speed. Things were enjoyable. There wasn't all these what ifs. There seemed to be a certain amount of certainty. And the funniest thing is, I can remember, you know how you always have like a, do you remember where you were at this event? Well, my memory for this happens to be March 7th. And it was a Friday night, my whole family and a bunch of us from the worship team here at the church, we had a bowling outing. It was March 7th, and it wasn't until the following week when things started spiraling out of control. But we laugh in our house because now you don't do anything. You don't shake hands. You don't hug people. You don't come in close contact with people. But when this virus started breaking out, where were we? We were bowling. I had my hands in 10 to 15 different bowling balls. I had shoes on my feet that who knows how many feet were in those shoes that day. And I don't think I'll ever stick my hand in another bowling ball again. So when I remember when this virus hit, the coronavirus, when it started hitting, I was probably in the most germ-filled factory place that you could be in. And I want to be back there too. But things are different now. And you know, in a matter of days after March 7th, life spiraled out of control and things changed fast. And I remember thinking that my wife's a teacher, and when they closed down the school where she works at, they were thinking it was going to be 3 weeks. 3 weeks max, we'll be back to normal. Everything will be over with. But leading towards the end of that first week, they started saying that we weren't going to be in school again for the rest of the year. And things are going to look different next year. And we don't even know what next year is going to look like now. Things changed. And here we are 2.5, maybe 3 months later, and we're just now starting to open up our businesses. People are apprehensive. Some people want to get out and get back to their lives. Some people don't want to have anything to do with anybody. Some of us are dealing with serious sacrifices, and some of us are dealing with minor sacrifices. And the very important thing to keep in mind about that is, nevertheless, we're dealing with sacrifices. I don't ever want to think that one is worse than the other, or yours isn't as bad as what I'm dealing with. It's a sacrifice. You're giving something up. Life is changed. And I heard someone say a few weeks ago, I was online, and this really hit me hard, and it got me to thinking. But here's what this person said. I can't even remember who it was. It was just something I was reading. But listen to this. What if Jesus is using this quarantine to get people out of the walls of the church, and all we want to do is go back into the building? Man, that kind of rocked me, you know, because first of all, as a firm believer in Jesus, you cannot change my mind with the fact that Jesus will bring good out of every bad situation. If you look for where he's at and you look for the good and you move with him, he will bring good out of everything. But I thought about this statement for a few days and I started wondering, have we as believers in Jesus gotten complacent in our faith? Is there any truth to what this person said? And I even asked my wife about this. Kim, I said, listen to what I read. And she quickly kind of shut me down. She said, don't be silly. We need to meet in church. We need to be back in church. And I thought, well, I'll just keep this to myself for a minute. But she was right. But again, what if there was some truth to that statement? You know, when reading the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that he had 12 close followers. They were his disciples. But then there were many others that traveled with him for 3 years during his public ministry. They saw him do so many crazy things. He healed people of sickness and disease. He drove demons out of people. He did miracle after miracle. He fed thousands out of little. He walked on water. Most of all, though, he turned the religious system on its head, and he revealed to mankind the love that God, our Father, has for people. But we can also see that there were some times when Jesus got frustrated with the disciples. He got frustrated with them for their lack of faith, and sometimes they didn't understand what he was teaching. They were confused with what he was saying. And so I just wonder, did they get complacent or maybe too dependent on their teacher, who they would soon find out he was the long-awaited Messiah that they had been waiting for? Could it be that today's church, the believers in Jesus, could it be that we have become complacent in our faith? We come to church, we see our church friends, we sing songs to God, we worship, we listen to a sermon, a message. You know, we feel good about it, and it's legitimate. I mean, we get recharged spiritually. For the 90 minutes or plus or so that we're in this church building, life is good. And sometimes our life gets changed because Jesus meets us where we're at. Things we're struggling with, we're no longer struggling with. Miracles can happen. And then we do it all over again in 7 days. The reason that I'm saying this is because the night that Jesus was betrayed, and then the next day he was nailed to the cross, leading up to this, he was warning the disciples that something was about to happen. He gave them this one specific teaching that I think is really kind of confusing. 2,000 years later, when we read about it, we're like, come on, guys, you can't figure out what he's saying. But he said something that went along like this. He said, listen, guys, there's going to come a time really soon. These are my words, but I'm about to go away. And where I go, you cannot come. But then I'll be back and I'll be with you. and then I'll go away again. And it was like kind of confusing and just like, Jesus, what are you saying? You could see the disciples were like scratching their heads. And I wonder if when they were away from Jesus, they're like, I don't know what he was talking about. Well, where's he going to go? Well, why is he coming back? And then he's going to go away again. You know, his teachings sometimes were a little mysterious. And they got confused. And, you know, sometimes we portray the disciples as being not being very smart. You know, we're like, these guys, they didn't understand. Why couldn't they pick up what he was saying? But I disagree with that. The disciples were smart. They were businessmen. They had fisheries. They owned a business. I mean, they caught fish. They sold fish. One of them was a tax collector. They knew how to handle money. They weren't dummies. But I just wonder, did they become too dependent on Jesus? And then think about it. Also, in their defense, when you read the Gospels and you read about some of these private teachings that Jesus did with them, he was a little mysterious. I mean, he wasn't always forthright with what he was saying to them, even when they were asking questions. But Jesus was a teacher, he was a leader, and he was a good one at that, because a good teacher, a good leader, won't spoon feed their students or their team all the way through life. They will teach them and they will draw things out of them. And I believe that's what Jesus was trying to do. But why didn't the disciples catch on to this? I don't know, maybe, just maybe, they became too dependent on him. Again, when Jesus was betrayed, the night he was betrayed, and then he was crucified, nailed to a cross the next day, you can read that the disciples got scared. They were full of fear. They scattered and they went into hiding. Jesus was preparing them for this very moment, and yet they were totally unprepared, caught off guard. I asked this question because for a couple of weeks after I heard that person say, you know, what if Jesus is using this quarantine to push us out into the world, to preach the gospel, to share our faith, and all we want to do is get back into the church building? I began having a discussion with God about this, just like, you know, Lord, did we as your church, did we become dependent on our church services? The building that we meet in once a week. Is there something that I'm not seeing or that we're not seeing that you're trying to teach us in this moment? What good are you trying to bring out of this that maybe I'm not seeing? Do I need to shift my focus a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right to see where you want us to be to be looking? Is it time, Jesus, for your people, for your church to go out into the world and share the good news of you, of the gospel, to those around us? You know, at the end of the Gospels, there is something that's called the Great Commission. And it's when Jesus, before he ascends up into heaven, he says to everybody, he says to his disciples, he says, go out into the world and preach the good news of the gospel. Preach the good news of Jesus and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we are called to do. And, you know, here's another question I was asking. You know, God, is the church building soon to be obsolete? Are things about to change and we're going to be caught off guard, just like the disciples were when you were nailed to that cross? I really felt convicted to share this with you because I honestly believe that the Holy Spirit gave me an answer to all these questions. And the answer is this. Are you ready? Yes. And no. No and yes. I mean, check this out. Here's what I heard more than anything that I felt like the Lord was telling me. When sacrifice happens, and we're all sacrificing something right now, and this is it right here. This is the phrase that I heard the Holy Spirit say louder than anything. It's time to get creative in the midst of sacrifice. It's time to get creative in the sacrifice. And here is the passage that he gave me. It's in Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. And this little passage here, these two verses, for some reason now really have a lot more meaning to me than they did before, because in January we started a sermon series called 2020 Vision. And it was a series laying out the groundwork for the future of the church, of this church, Vineyard Community Church. And I did a message about reaching across the table and how we are to reach across the table to visitors and guests at the church and get people to get to know one another and things of that nature. And I ended it with this passage just to say, listen, I think we need to start kind of stirring each other up to encourage each other about our evangelism. And then the Lord just drops this in my lap again. But here it is, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That sounds like getting creative to me. You know, this right here, this verse right here, is what makes my relationship with Jesus a great adventure. Because it is saying, listen, we got to think of ways to motivate each other. You know, we cannot get complacent in our faith. We all have a role to play when it comes to getting the message of the good news of Jesus to others. This is what Jesus wants us to do. So let's get creative. And so what does that look like? Well, first of all, I know that when we start hearing messages like this about sharing your faith and evangelism, there's a range of different groups of people out there. There are those who are like, I do not like doing this. I am no good at this. I don't like doing this. And it makes me, you get tensed up thinking about it. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where you're like overzealous to share your faith with everybody. And it's like, whoa, ease up there, Sparky. You're freaking people out. You know, dial it down some. And then there's some in the middle that are like, yeah, I think I can do this. Here's what I want to encourage you about. Jesus will meet you where you're at, and he'll work with what you have. If a little boy, there's a story in the Gospels, if a little boy had a couple fish and a few loaves of bread, if Jesus could take that and feed 5,000 people, he can take where you're at and help you share your faith with others. So getting creative with sharing our faith right now in this particular time, what does that look like? It could be as something as sharing a short devotion on social media, a little video of yourself, something that you've been doing, something that Jesus helped you out with, a little testimony. It could just be even sharing a meme of your favorite verse and then asking people to respond. What does this verse mean to you? That is sharing your faith. That is something we can all do. It could be as simple as sharing this video right now and starting a watch party. It could be wearing a mask when you're out in the grocery store that says Jesus loves you. That's not that hard to do. Or how about this? It could be when you go into the stores or when you're out in public right now, you look for people who maybe you think they need a pick-me-up, some encouragement, and you find somebody who could just use a smile or a hello. You know, if you go out into the grocery store or something and you started out with this, Jesus, help me to find somebody who could use some encouragement and I will give them a smile. I will say hello to them. I guarantee you, Jesus will point people out to you because your smile will now become contagious and it will have a blessing and the anointing of God behind it. I'm convinced of this. So I believe, again, with all of my heart, that if we ask Jesus how to get creative in sharing the gospel of the good news, he will meet us where we're at, and he will help us share that good news. And here's the other thing. I do not believe that we will no longer have a church building to meet in. The building will not become obsolete. And that's what verse 25 is telling us here. Do not neglect meeting together. We need this time to come together and meet as a church, and meet as a church family, as like-minded believers. Think about how recharged and you get spiritually, and how happy it is when you come to church on a Sunday morning and you haven't seen your church friends, your church family in a week. It's fun. It's almost the best thing ever, really. We get recharged, we can minister to others, and we can receive ministry as well. So that's never going to go away. It might be a little bit different for a while. It might be a little bit different for a long time. But I believe that God wants us to always have a set time where we meet periodically together. It's been happening since Jesus established the church in the book of Acts. Because getting recharged every week, getting ministered to, ministering to others, that is what church is all about. And we are called to be a people who encourage each other. We will always have a place to meet. We will always have a place to gather. It may look a little bit different in the days to come, but it's important that we meet, because this is how we were designed. We were designed to be around other people. That's how God designed us. So I will close it with this. Being in quarantine, it may not be the healthiest environment for us spiritually, mentally, or even physically. But if we can lean into Jesus, lean into our faith, and see where he is at and where he is moving, and join him, we will find him where he's at, and we will be able to be a part of the lives that he wants to change. And I believe it's time for us to get creative in our faith, maybe even in our personal devotion time as well. Mix things up a bit and get spiritually recharged. Because here's the deal. Someday, that creative mindset of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, someday that creative mindset will come to fruition when we can meet on a regular basis again once a week. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you for how you speak to us through the scriptures. I thank you for the creative ideas that you are giving us right now in this particular time. And I thank you, Jesus, for meeting us where we are at and helping each one of us share the good news of who you are with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to take some time to just do some ministry. And then also I want to give you an opportunity, if you're watching this and you're saying, hey, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be somebody who puts their faith in Jesus. Or maybe even what we call a recommitment. You know, maybe you had a faith in Jesus at one point, and you're like, man, I need to get back into the graces of Jesus, so to speak, however you want to put that. But first of all, I want to start with those who might feel apprehensive about sharing their faith with Jesus. Like, how am I supposed to talk about the good news of Jesus when everybody has a face mask on, or when I'm just nervous to be around people, or maybe even you're just always apprehensive about that. The encouraging word that I believe Jesus wants you to know is this. He's not concerned with how much confidence you have or how much confidence you feel you don't have. His biggest concern is when we allow him to meet us where we're at, and we don't, He can't use us. But when we allow him to meet us where we're at and allow him to use what it is that we have, there is a blessing to that. There is an anointing on that. And so I want to pray for you. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, I really want to share my faith with others, but I always just get tripped up. I think Jesus wants to meet you where you're at, and he wants to bless you beyond belief. So I want to pray for you right now. So let's pray. So Lord God, for those who are apprehensive about sharing their faith, God, whether it's a lack of confidence, whether it's I don't feel like I have all the knowledge, I just get tripped up, or maybe you're just like, man, I just want to go and share my faith all the time. The most important thing that I think Jesus wants you to know is, I just need to know that I can meet you where you're at and that you will move with that. If that's all he wants. So God, I just want to pray a prayer of encouragement, Lord. And if I'm speaking to you right now, I really sense like the Holy Spirit is saying, just hold your hands out. Hold your hands out right now, wherever you're at watching this, and God is going to fill you with an anointing of sharing the good news of his faith. Because what that is saying is that is saying, Jesus, I'm ready. Give me what you got. And if you look for where he's at, you will find him. So God, I want to bless that. Jesus, I just thank you for meeting people where they're at. And listen, let's do this too. If you have a story where you have been creative in sharing your faith with others, message us on Facebook, email us at info@vineyard05.com. I want to hear those stories. I want to hear how you got creative in sharing your faith and Jesus met you and some others where you were at and lives were changed. Amen. We can do this, church. That's what this is all about. Getting creative in the midst of sacrifice. Amen. And so now I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, or you're just feeling like, I need something better. I really liked what I was hearing. I need a change in life. I believe that that is the Holy Spirit of God reaching into your life and saying, what you need is me. So I want to give you an opportunity to allow Jesus in your life here in just a minute. And then also, if you're watching this and you've had your faith in Jesus at one point, and maybe you've fallen away for whatever reason or another, doesn't even matter. What matters is you're thinking about coming back to Jesus, and Jesus is standing there with his arms open wide. So here's what we'll do. Normally, I'd say raise your hand. I want to pray for you. But you know what? What I want to do right now is I just want to ask you to hold your hands out as well. It's just an act of saying, Jesus, I want to invite you into my life. I want to invite you back into my life. And just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting me where I am at. I ask you into my life right now. I want to ask you to forgive me of all my sins, and I thank you for that. I ask for you to be with me every day from here on out. Teach me the ways of how you want me to live, God. The ways of God. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And again, listen, if you said that prayer with me, could you message us or even email us at info@vineyard05.com? If you do and say, hey, I said that prayer, you know, I asked Jesus into my life, or I recommitted my life to Jesus, we have some stuff that we'll send you, some reading materials that will help you in this journey and help you along in life. And I personally would just like to hear about it and just welcome you into the family, the kingdom of God. Amen. All right, so let's pray for our offering. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank all of those families and individuals who have been giving to the church, your tithes and your offerings. We're still operating here. We still got things to do. We're doing our online services. We've got the outdoor services coming up. So let's just pray for our offering. Lord God, I thank you for the tithes and the offerings that are represented here today that are being sent into the church, Lord God, whether it's through mail, whether it's online, whether it's bill pay, through our website, or even text to give. God, I ask that you would bless the individuals, the families, and even the companies represented, God. And I thank you for that, Jesus. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us here at Vineyard Community Church use that money to the best of our ability to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh. family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. And your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations. And your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you.
Let's close with a blessing. Lift up your hands with me. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. God bless you. Have a great day. Have an even better week. We love you, and we'll see you next Sunday.